Back to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane. Coins Plus is located inside the Division Hill Clock Tower Plaza at 3201 North Division Street, a couple miles north of the interstate in Spokane. For those of you who don't know Spokane very well, Spokane is split into north, south, by Sprague, and east and west is Division Street. So we're on Division. That's the street that cuts the city from east, or the addresses east to west. Hypothetically, it's the dead center of the city, although the city's grown all around and north and south and everything else. People don't realize. People drive through Spokane and they think it's kind of a looking place. A lot of them will turn and go up to the South Hill because the hospitals and stuff are up there, and they think that's nice. Very few people make it up north. North is a very nice, nice part of town. That's where we lived for years before we moved out. I had to move on to the water in Idaho, the river right down from the lake. And but basically, Spokane, the north side's kind of an understated area. It's very nice, and people who... If you just kind of focus on the valley, you see kind of an open, almost industrial-looking kind of a thing, and there's a lot more to Spokane. Not that it's relevant, but Spokane's an interesting community because 7 out of 10 of its top employers are the state, and that means, you know, police officers and teachers and government workers, things like that, but... So the income base in Spokane is interesting because the working class in general is fairly blue collar, and then the elite is old money. And so there's a lot of money in Spokane, but it's in what they call tight hands. And it's kind of interesting for the community. So the community isn't, for its size, isn't extraordinarily wealthy. The other thing I'm not crazy about Spokane is, you essentially have like 4 areas. You have North Spokane, South Spokane, Central Spokane. Technically, you have West Spokane now out by Airway Heights where the base is, and the Spokane Valley, and now Liberty Lake. And they are literally distinct areas that are getting their own flavor and personality, and there's no centralized area. Even if you go to Boise or any other city our size, you have more of a centralized downtown. Spokane suffers from what I would call poor design, simply for the fact that during the expo in 74, which came here, the World Exposition, World's Fair, they scrambled to build Riverfront Park fast, and it was interesting. It's been revamped, but downtown Spokane was technically designed for one huge grand circus, one great big expo fair. And then, of course, after that was over, everything was kind of focused on that. And the whole design of the downtown is technically flawed, unfortunately. It's a real kind of a dilemma. Don't mean to talk you out of Spokane if you're thinking of coming here. It's just... I guess I've only lived here 23 years, so maybe I've earned the right to voice my opinion on the city. I like Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. It's interesting, too. It's kind of a resort community. It's got a lot of advantages, but that is absolutely not what this show is about. So Coins Plus sponsors the show, always has, always will. Coins Plus 444-0044, toll-free 877-TAP-COIN. Through the website, coinsplus.com. You know, Coins Plus is a full-service rare coin precious metals broker-dealer depository service. We always are actively involved in the purchase and sale of all forms of coins and precious metals. Scrap gold, jewelry, diamonds, all this sort of stuff. And anything that's compact and small like that, we pretty much buy it all and sell it all. We really specialize, folks, in portfolio building. And right before I came on the show, I was looking through, there's a company called PCGS, Professional Coin Grading Service. It's They're one of the premier coin grading services. There's two in our industry. One is PCGS, one is NGC. And what happens when you get into older coins is if you're an authorized and certified coin grader like I am through the American Numismatic Association, that's all neat and dandy. But you can send coins in to be graded, authenticated, graded, and encapsulated by an independent third-party grading service, supposedly independent. And I say supposedly because the truth of the matter is, you know, there is favoritism in everything in life, and we won't get into that right now. There's also collusion in everything in life. Every business, I was talking to a friend yesterday who's actually at a very high level in the government. And we were discussing collusion, and he said it is everywhere. And he's very, very, very high. He spent years running a massive portion of a certain three-letter agency in Washington, D.C., part of the government. But we were talking about there really is collusion and corruption and everything, sadly. In our business, there's a few different layers of corruption. One, you know, you start from the street level, and there's corruption when certain people with little tiny cheesy little coin shops buy things. There can be corruption there. There can be corruption when people sell things, obviously. There for years, when I got into business in the 90s in the area, the local dealers, we really don't consider ourselves the same as other coin dealers, because just like we had a guy here for a while who'd worked for a competitor for a number of years somewhere else, and he said we don't run like any coin shop anywhere. We're a lot more like a combination of Nordstrom's and Costco and a bank and a brokerage, I guess. It's a real high-end classy place. But when I first got into business, a lot of the local dealers would actually ship out all of their really nice, good material, quality investment grade material, to dealers, and they would sell their garbage to the local populace. So there were no legitimate collectors around at the time. There were people that, you know, I won't get into all the details, but they just weren't selling good quality material to the people. When we came in, we changed that almost immediately, and we started to, you know, we don't have a problem selling our, you know, garbage to dealers elsewhere or dumping them on eBay. But when it comes to good quality material and really phenomenal investment grade coins and things like that, we want them held locally. We want to help our customers. And then when you go, so that's our goal there. When you get to other levels of what I call collusion or corruption in the industry, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but I'll just, since I started, I'll finish. There is people who consider themselves specialists in certain errors and varieties that I've run into, where we will discover significant coin finds in the areas of varieties and errors. And these experts, industry-accepted experts who've written books and whatnot, if it isn't their find or they don't have a profitable venture tied into it, they will not acknowledge the find. In a few cases, we found very profound errors, overdates, 1914, over 13, Buffalo Nickel, things like that. We present them to the expert, and he says, nope, not sure. And then we see him at coin shows for the next year, scouring every dealer's showcase, looking at these exact dates of nickels, buying those which he believes may have the error, which is rare. And then after a period of time, he accumulates maybe 20, 25 of them. And then all of a sudden, he announces the discovery of this new variety. So he gets the credit and he gets all this profit. I had one situation much worse years back where I had a dealer call me with some profound errors, and I called an expert on it was some Indian pennies that were struck on $2.50 gold planchets, which a customer was showing to another dealer. He wanted $25,000 a piece. I called an expert, He said, they absolutely don't exist. Can't happen. I said, come on, man. The guy's looking at him. He says, nope, not possible. Can, you know, absolutely. So I tell the dealer, well, this guy's saying it's absolutely impossible. And he said, I'm looking at him. They're real. I said, I'm sorry. This guy said it's not possible. So off the phone I get. Next day, this expert who just told me it's not possible posts a message on our secure dealer network and says, hey, I hear there's two Indian pennies struck on $2.5 gold planchets out there. Whoever comes up with these, I want them. Contact me. I'm the buyer. So I contact him and I said, what are you doing? You told me they don't exist. And then he just got nasty and, you know, all pushy and said, well, I'm the buyer on this stuff. You don't need to be middleman. I mean, it was just, there's corruption and collusion. We've had some other stuff and I don't know why I got on that. And what I did start the show with is when it comes to coin grading and stuff, there are certain people that are, you know, buddies with the graders and they can sometimes get better grades, but on certain coins, but they don't undergrade on purpose. There is subjectivity in grading. I agree with them 90 and some percent of the time, you know, but different people see things differently. But in general, that's why a nice quality certified coin from a professional grader eliminates all risk. And what I was getting at the beginning of the show, PCGS and NGC, the two majors, been around for quite a while, 30, 40 years, very respected. When a coin is encapsulated in their holders, it's liquid cash. People don't have to see it and question it and ask about it. And, you know, they know what it is. And the reason I'm explaining that is I'm looking at what's called the PCGS Rarity Index Chart. And I was looking at this earlier and I thought, you know, I'm going to talk about this on the show. This is really interesting because they basically look at different, there's different, it's a book and obviously it's for serious investors. I mean, but you don't have to be at this magnitude, but they show, for example, an investment portfolio made in 1970, for $70,000 is today worth over $4 million in numismatic coins. On another page, they show another group these are legitimate, you know, this is what they call the rarities index. This is based on certain portfolio methods, or how would I call it? Just certain category types of coins. We tend to mix throughout all of them. Here's another one. 1970, 30,000 invested is over 2 million today. Another one, 12,000 invested in 1970 is over 600,000 today. Now you might think, well, that's 40 years. Okay, so in 1990, $100,000 invested is over a million today. I'm looking at 15,000 in 1970 is, by 1990, is 75,000. And today it's over 1.6 million. And on and on we go. 67,000 in 1970, 900,000 in 1990, over 6 million today. the overall market, they have what's called the PCGS 1000, the PCGS 3000, it goes on and on. They're just different coins. Basically what we do when we build portfolios, and it's very simple, we key off of really amazing stuff. When you are a collector and you know the business, there's things that everybody loves, everybody appreciates. They're always in demand. They're always desirable. They're never going to be common. They're always rare. Coins based on their original rarity. You do not ever want, as a coin investor, you never want to get into what we call condition rarity. Okay, and here's what many of you may understand this when I say this. There's basically two categories, three, but we'll say two categories of coins to be interested in. One, well, not to be interested in, to consider. There's the old type coins, the older silver, you know, quarters, half dimes, dollars that were meant to circulate. Okay. They were designed to circulate. They had a different minting process, 90% silver. But many of them are extremely low mintage based on the need of the year. They all went into circulation. They're hard to find in nice shape, things like that. Those coins are rare based on mintage, rare based on survival, and even rarer in higher grades. Those are the best investments of all. There's coins, I guess I'll do the three parts. There's coins that are old but very plentiful. There are certain dates of Morgan dollars that are in nice mint state 63, 64, where they're running 60, 70 bucks a piece. They're certified, you know, in certified holders, which we probably have a couple hundred of those. They're a great investment because they're nice uncirculated examples of dollars. But you get some of those dollars, and they're not, you know, they're not terribly rare. You get some of them in really, really high condition, and they get expensive. We deter people from those coins for the simple fact that if a coin is relatively plentiful in a nice uncirculated condition, but rare in a super high condition, we avoid it because we figure if they're plentiful and uncirculated over time, there's going to be more and more discoveries of the higher grade coins. Okay. So, and these are things, there's a lot more that goes through our mind when we build portfolios. But so if it comes to Morgan dollars, you go two ways. You go either the bulk, generic stuff, the middle of the road grades, where they're either worth basically bullion plus, their silver content plus, or you go into nice uncirculated coins that have, they move far more than you realize, even though they're 60, 70 bucks a piece. Far more than you realize, they respond to the silver market. In fact, on an amplified or magnified level, do they respond? And secondly, the collectible numismatic market pressures them. Right now, all these things I'm talking about, anything with any numismatic drive at this point, frankly, is being overshadowed severely by the stock market. Rich people get rich by buying when markets are down and things are affordable and everyone else isn't doing it. I obviously like to make good investments. I like to be wise. I like to do the right thing with my money. It's very important to me. I've been around money for many decades. It's where God put me in and entrusted me and has blessed me and trained me. When I look back at my best investments, whatever it may be, it's always when I always did it when the market was down. When I look back at my hugest mistakes, it isn't always that I bought when the market was up. Those are minor mistakes because you lose money. My biggest mistakes are the items I knew I should have bought when the market was down, and I procrastinated because I bought into the bare-minded thinking. Coins, waterfront, real estate, even aircraft. In 2004, I had an accountant tell me, look, now is a great time to buy an airplane. He knew I love flying. It's like something I absolutely adore. I grew up, my dad owned a partnership in a charter service, and I spent countless hours in a helicopter. I mean, probably hundreds as a kid, doing search and rescue and other forms of hunting, coyotes in the mountains of Montana for ranchers because the coyotes hurt their cattle and did all kinds of mean stuff. So I grew up just in the air all the time, that and aircraft, and I just love it. And when I was a kid, I could literally fly a helicopter in junior high. I could take off, fly, and land, but I never got a license. It was something I never even crossed my mind. I wish I would have. I'm always too busy with life to do it, and I'm getting older, and it's not good. So an accountant told me, you got to buy an aircraft right now. He said, they are so cheap. I mean, post 9/11, a few years out, the whole aircraft industry collapsed. George Bush put in an 879 tax law, which gave you ridiculous double write-offs on everything to do with aircraft. And which, of course, Obama yanked immediately when he got in office, because how dare you let those filthy rich people, you know, have a tax break, even though George Bush knew he had to revive the airline or the aircraft industry, or it was going to collapse altogether. But Obama has absolutely no business sense whatsoever. He's a radical, reckless ideologue who has done more damage to this country than anyone I know of in the history of the United States, him and Hillary. So anyway, I should have bought an aircraft. My wife and I went to some different shows, AOPA, the Aircraft Owners and Pilot Association, and you could literally buy aircraft at the time for a fifth of what you can sell the same aircraft now. I'm not talking different years. I could have bought, you know, literally aircraft for $200,000 in 2004 that literally sells. The same plane sells for $1.2 or $1.4 million now. There was stuff far more extreme than that. That's just a random example. But the point is, when the market's down on stuff, when it's compressed, when no one's looking at it, this is literally when you make your buys. That is what we're dealing with right now. We have got so much focus going. Think of it as, you know, think of the United States, the globe, whatever you want to call it, the world, which is what everything's becoming, as a massive sporting event. It's like the Super Bowl. There are bright lights everywhere. There's music playing. There's distractions everywhere. There's people screaming all over the place. And it's in the middle of a political season. So you have all these political debates. You have all these distractions going on. Everything seems really wonderful in one way and other, you know, you have enemies, you have opposing teams. And what we should be in America is frenemies. And what I mean by that, we should be friends that are competitive, right? But we're not. We're creating destructive division at a level that is literally tearing this country asunder. No questions about that, I'm sure. But if you think of that as what's going on, you've got bright lights in your eyes, you've got noise used to distract, which noise is a great distractor. There's all kinds of, you know, different scenarios where the military uses noise to distract. And that distraction that you're facing right now is the media shredding on Trump. It is the stock markets posting these ridiculous gains. It's Trump's comments that the media pounces on and jumps on. And all this stuff draws our eyes over there. And we ignore the opportunities that lie between our feet. The peaceful way, God's way, is the precious metals-based assets. God quietly tells us in his Bible, look, here's what gold is. He says, it is good. I endorse it. Genesis chapter 2. I endorse it with the highest Hebrew word there is, Tav. He says, look, as an example, I'm giving it to all of your forefathers in the faith. I'm giving it to all the patriarchs. I'm building heaven out of this metal, out of these metals and these precious stones. I'm building my temple on earth out of it. I'm blessing the richest man that'll ever walk the earth with it. I'm going to give this to my son when he comes on earth. I'm going to have three wise men that I call forth, and they're going to give him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Frankincense and myrrh have incredible spiritual connotations. I keep intending to cover that on a show, and I don't get to it. But I will tell you, they have serious meaning for healing, peace, and I mean peace in your personal life, peace among nations, antibiotics. It's about health. It's a good thing. And that is why they gave it to Jesus. He says, I'm going to give you gold and silver as money on this earth. And as I mentioned in the prior show, silver is a colloidal metal is a 100% antimicrobial substance. That literally means that anything that touches silver, any microorganism that touches silver, is dead in 4 seconds or less, period. No questions asked. That's why people build colloidal silver, where they actually use a form of electrolysis. And what they do is they build a vat of water. They put a silver bar on each end connected to electrodes. They run electricity into the one. The current carries through the water to the other and back around. That actually causes the silver to fragment off of the bar microscopically and fill the water up with colloidal silver. When you drink this or apply it to wounds, it is extremely healing. There are people that get addicted to it, though. because it makes them feel so good and it heals them. There are people, if you drink way too much colloidal silver, it'll actually start to turn your skin blue. But that's not something the average person needs to worry about. It's something that happens in massive scale. It's just on the hugest scale that that would ever occur. But it's a wonderful property. So God's given us all these examples. God's also told us, he's said, I'm going to show you end times, right? God has shown us the end times in the Bible over and over in many ways. One of the things he's shown us about the end times is that people will be casting their gold and silver in the streets, their valuables, their most prized possessions. It's interesting to me when I talk to people about this and they say, well, are you sure that's what it means? They're like, are you sure that's the last day? Are you sure, like, it's not the second to the last day? And it's like, are you missing the point here? God is showing us clearly it lasts until the end. And folks, if you think you're smarter than God, then more power to you. God literally, do you know what the word literally means? It means for real, okay? God literally has heaven loaded with gold. And I mean loaded. I'm not talking people have this thing in their head, well, the streets of heaven are paved in gold. No, everything in heaven is made of gold. Not everything, but massive, massive descriptions throughout the Bible. Unbelievable. Okay, it's everywhere. Good enough for God. Somewhere else, somewhere out there in the universe, I believe God is in a physical realm somewhere, maybe multidimensional, more dimensional than us, obviously, otherwise he couldn't visit us and do the things he does. But if it's good enough for him, then why the heck is it not good enough for you? Explain that to me. If man's system, if Jesus Christ said that he entrusted himself to no man because he knew what was on man's heart, do you think that meant that he would take his money to a stockbroker? I don't think so, okay? I don't think so. I think it's pretty darn obvious. And let's just go to the extreme. Let's say Jesus lived here today and he knew a guy. He knew the guy that was completely, perfectly, honestly righteous. As righteous as a man could be. And that man just happened to be a stockbroker. Doubtful. But let's just say that's the case. Do you think under those circumstances Jesus would take him his money to invest in the stock market? The answer is a clear no. Why is the answer a clear no? It's a clear no because even though the guy he's investing with is still has to put it into the system, okay? The system is, again, fully man-made, man-controlled. All of the money in the stock market, all of the money made on Wall Street is not made by the yous and the me's. All the money on the Wall Street is made by those at the top. So you just avoid that stuff. It's a corrupt system. It just doesn't make sense. What's crazy about the stock thing is it's no different than going into somebody's business and saying, here, I'm going to loan you a bunch of money to run your business. You do whatever you want with it. In fact, the fact that I just said it's to run your business, forget about that. You just do whatever you want with this money. That is exactly what stock is. And what the way it's set up is you own supposedly these microscopic pieces of a company, but that's not the case. Shareholders have a different position in a company. Shareholders don't get their money first. They get their money last. If anybody tells you otherwise, they're either misinformed or not telling you the truth. Shareholders get paid after everybody else. Every vendor, every debt, every tax, all the CEOs, all the employees, all the overhead, all the advertising, everything. If there's profit left, guess what? You get a little bit of money in your stock. Sadly, though, Wall Street moves huge quantities of money around to leverage stock, to push it up and pull it down. They use long and short contracts to intentionally cause waves in the market. Has nothing to do with the performance of these companies. Many of these companies are so propped up and so pumped up by investment capital that they are, their value has nothing to do with anything. It's very speculative. It's very, I don't know what else to say. It's, well, let's just say it's very speculative. It's very deceptive. It's very, it's dishonest. It's inaccurate. It's not an investment. It really is a casino play. It is no different than putting your money on a roulette table. That is the truth. Very, so few people make any real money, folks. The days of big stock market gains are over for the individual. So many of us lived through the dot-com craze, and we still have that in the back of our mind, and we think it's possible. It was only possible when IPOs, initial public offerings, were coming out of new tech stocks. There are no more overnight successes like that. You are not going to get rich off of one stock. In fact, the odds of you literally making money on a stock are far low, far lower than the odds of you losing. Even though the indexes are up, they have a plunge protection team where they manipulate money at night through various vendors and various corporations to prop up stock, to make them look good. You know, it started under Reagan. It goes on and on this way. So it's just, you know, knowing just that, knowing what God's done, what God says and what his word says, and please don't fall for the lie that the Bible is this old relic written by an ancient God who couldn't understand technology. You ever read the Bible? You read about when Paul goes to heaven and how, you know, the wheel within a wheel, and they're moving here and they're moving there without even turning. That's just a hovercraft type technology. We don't know what it is, but God created the flesh. God understands technology. We haven't outsmarted God. We haven't moved past God. If more of the Bible was written today, okay, God still wouldn't include technological specifics because it doesn't apply. If fiat currency was where God wanted you to have your money, he wouldn't have to say, clear back then when he was writing the word, you know, you need to buy the 10 dog notes from Egypt. No, he would say, put all your money in man-made currency. He wouldn't have to tell you what the man-made currency was if he knew it was good. If he didn't think, you know, that, you know, if he wanted you to focus on technological advancements, he would have said that in the Bible. Solomon or somebody would have said, I put all my money in technological advancements, and now we have a new tool, you know, called the hammer. You know, it just doesn't work like that. It's basic life skills. We're used to specific instruction manuals. With us, God gives us a one-size-fits-all directions. And without further ado, folks, I assure you that's what he's done with his word. His word speaks to you, your heart. He gives us answers for everything. The biblical financial principles are simple. Own assets, okay? Now, the other thing people are running into a lot of is these self-held IRAs. Where people supposedly can hold their own IRA at home and report to some trust company and blah, blah, blah. None of that falls into the IRS regulations or guidelines, okay? According to the law, a gold IRA, now, I want you to understand tricky verbiage or vernacular. IRA means independent retirement account, okay? Now, if I say you can build your own IRA and keep it at home, I'm not telling you about all the tax deductibility and the tax deferred status and all that, am I? I'm just saying build your own IRA. So when there's companies out there deceiving you into thinking this, there was a couple we dealt with 2 years ago that had a company tell them this, They transferred $275,000 out of an IRA that we had put into gold and silver, and they moved it out into a safe in their home, convinced from some guy they heard on the radio or something that they could do that legally and still fall under the umbrella of protection of the IRA laws for tax deferral status, etc. Well, guess what? The year comes due, 1099s are flying. They're looking for a way out. No accountant would agree with them, no one. And they ended up owing a tremendous amount of tax on that early withdrawal of the entire balance. Okay, so be skeptical. It's not, I really don't believe that you can do it. I don't believe that it's true. According to my understanding of the law, it's not. Don't be gullible. Don't listen to somebody. Read the law, the regulations yourself. Now, my opinion of IRAs is if you've already got one, great. Deal with it. You can roll it over. We can roll it into metals if it's sitting there in paper rotting. We can give it into a preserved status. People go, well, where's my metal held? It's held in an extremely high secure trust. Gee, they say, I'm not comfortable with that, I don't think. Okay, but you're comfortable with your money where now? Right now, where's your money? If you have an IRA or 401k. Well, it's, quote, with my broker. Is it? Is it really with your broker? No. Well, no, not really. It's with my broker's company. Okay. But it's not really with my broker's company. My broker's company invested it in AYZ stock and such mutual fund. Okay. So it's really in those funds and stocks. Yeah. So where's that money? Well, it's with the stock company and with the mutual fund company. Oh, really? Well, isn't it the mutual fund companies with multiple stocks? Well, yeah, but they've got it. They've got it where? Well, I don't know. I get a statement every month. Where's your money? I don't know. Well, I'll be honest with you, folks. I'm pretty good at this, and I don't know either, okay? I know that every real dollar that gets spent goes straight back to the Fed, and after percentages of it keep going to the government in the form of taxes. I know that there's no real money for your investments. Real money is fungible. It's liquid. It's transportable. It's equally recognized everywhere. It is not at all subjected to fiat, to decree. Real money is precious metals-based assets. It's hard assets, okay? Real money, like I always say, it can be a 67 decked-out Camaro. That's kind of real money, not as good because it's not liquid. It's not fungible. Fungible means they're all alike. Every ounce of gold is an ounce of gold. It doesn't matter if you stamp it in China or if you stamp it in Japan or you stamp it in South America or you stamp it in Canada or the United States or Austria or Australia. It's still an ounce of gold. So technically, you know, collectible cars, kind of money. Not really. It's a liquid asset, but it's really not the same. God said real money is hard assets. It's coins. It's really coins. It's, you know, Jesus held up a coin and said, whose image is on this? Caesar's. Render unto Caesar. Why did he say that? Because it was fiat currency. The Caesar Augustus, along with other emperors before him, had begun this long decline, this long debasement of the currency. They'd remove the metal from the currency. When Jesus speaks of mammon, mammon specifically means self-made money or man-made money by a self-made man. It's the whole attitude when people say, I'm a self-made man. I made my own way. I started out drinking mud and eating dirt and cleaning my body with rocks, and I started working my tail off. I used to have to take bark off trees with my teeth, you know, and pretty soon after a while, everybody recognized how much talent I had, and I ended up with my own company, and I ended up owning the whole world, and I'm a self-made man. I mean, that's the attitude when Christ says mammon. That is called pride, false pride. You're nothing without God, the gifts he gives you. I tell you, each and every one of you has a set of talents. You can become much more, but you don't. Opportunities will come, and you must take them. but you don't need the opportunities to maximize the person that you want to be, the person that God knows you can be. If you want to become a better person, educate yourself. Start to read. You don't need to go to college. College is a lie. And take it from me, folks. I got degrees. I got education big time. I got, you know, I've sent my kids through it, all of it. It's a distraction. It's a ripoff. It's a lie. The average college student comes out of college with $65,000 in debt. College makes some people dumber. I mean, you can educate yourself drastically by reading every day. Read nonfiction. Do not waste your time sitting around reading fiction novels. They are garbage for the brain. They're trash, okay? They accomplish nothing. If you investigate any extraordinarily successful person in any arena, I don't care if it's a doctor curing cancer, I don't care if it's a billionaire business owner, I don't care if it's the best fighter pilot in the world, I don't care how you measure success, I don't care if it's the best teacher on earth, they will be into nonfiction. The best of the best only deal in nonfiction. Fiction is a waste of the mind. I'm sorry to tell you that, but it is. Solomon says of, you know, the writing of many books, there is no end. It's wearisome to the soul, you know, and he says it, all the answers are pretty much in the Bible. And then after that, you just gather facts. So, folks, read nonfiction. If you want to get intelligent, read nonfiction. It's good for you. It gathers relevant information, even if you just have tons of really good trivial information. I'm not talking sitting around memorizing the score from every football, basketball, and baseball game for the last 75 years. I know people who do that with their mind, and it's an absolute waste. Why wouldn't they apply that same ability or talent to a business like ours? I actually went around with an employee like this that had that capability. If he would have applied a fraction of that to our business, he would have been stellar, but they just don't want to. People who want to take their talents and maximize them, they become who they want to be. It's not something you do from 8 to 5. It's who you are. You know, you go home, you think about it. It's what you do. You don't cut it off. When you have spouses that say you leave your work at work and your home at home, men can't do that. Men, successful godly men, are what they do, okay? It's who they are, not what they do. If you show up, punch in your ticket, and you want to be, or a time card, and you want to be a life support system for a paycheck, good luck. You're going to go nowhere in life. You're going to sit there and make your wage. You're going to complain that you never get promoted, not understand why. That's because you're not living what you're doing. No matter what we do, what does Christ say? Whatever you do, do well. The Bible says, do all unto the glory of the Lord. Do it as unto the Lord. Now think about this. If you think, well, I do it unto the Lord. I show up from 8 to 5. I do my job just fine. You know, whatever. That's not what he's talking about. I mean, if you were doing it for the Lord, either you don't understand the Lord, you don't love the Lord enough, or what, I don't know. But the bottom line is, if you're really doing it for the Lord, for God, for Jesus Christ, who's watching you all the time, guess what? You need to be living it. You need to be the best of the best of the best. If you can't be the best, you should get yourself to the point where there's no one more knowledgeable. I don't care if you're a janitor. I don't care what you do. You need to become more knowledgeable on cleaning. You need to know all these things on prevention, on sterilization. I don't know. I don't know that business. But I can tell you, you need to be darn good at it, the best. That's when God recognizes you and he can promote you. If that's important to you, if you want to be successful, become the best. But don't sit around and be a life support system for a paycheck. Like I said, I've dealt with that in this business, and it's hard because I've had people I loved to death just absolutely sabotage themselves. And all they had to do is follow directions, communicate. You know, people have different personal histories and all that. Doesn't matter. God knows all that. God knows everything we've been through. He knows our heart. We don't need to make excuses. We don't need to be fear-bound. But what we need to do is we need to just step forth and be the absolute best that we can be at whatever God gives us to do. And that applies to our financial life. So what I started out the show on, real, and I'll get back to you, is numismatic coin charts. Okay, so the PCGS Rarities Index, which is a collectible coin investment concept, basically thousands of coins. It goes back to 70, and you might think that's a long time ago, but that's good. That's 47 years of history. Why does it go back to then? I don't know. It could go back further, and it'd keep going. I've had charts back to the 40s. I have charts back to the 1800s. These things grow, folks. Now, precious metals, people say, well, gold's in the Bible. That's what I want. It's the same thing we were talking about before. God keeps things simple, okay? He gives you general categories. He says real estate, human life, livestock, precious stones, precious metals. They're arenas, folks. They're sectors. It's not just that thing. It's the sector around it, because that does change in time. The American 1 ounce gold eagle didn't exist 50 years ago. It doesn't change the fact that an ounce of gold is an ounce of gold. But then before that, they had the U.S. $20 gold piece, the St. Gaudens. That's still an ounce of gold. And as a sidebar, I think we're getting down on those pretty good. But if people, you need to come and get those. We've got maybe, I don't know what we got left, maybe 12 or 15 of them. They're such a crazy investment. We have mint state certified $20 gold pieces. They're phenomenal. They trade basically for the same price as a 1 ounce gold bullion coin, and a little bit more, but not much. And they are a 1 ounce antique coin, one of the most beautiful coins ever made. We've got terrific stuff like that. That's just one example. We've got some bags of AUP dollars, 200 to a bag, that are, you know, I think they're 18, 19, right? Maybe, you know, something like that, $19 a piece, whatever. Gold, silver's around 17 or whatever it is. I mean, you know, these are the best values of all times. In all my years in this business, I've never seen things this cheap. I've said that before, and then they get to be a better value. These are good times. These are the best times. God is opening a window, folks. Most likely, I would bet, there is financial chaos that lies ahead. It's going to come simultaneously with some kind of world brush-up. We literally have the enemy, the devil, attacking our president at a level we cannot even fathom. It's so over the top. And I believe that God is providing you a window right now to transfer your funds and your resources into the assets that he wants you to have in your portfolio. I don't care what you have. I will say, if you've got an annuity, folks, get out. Simple as that. It's garbage, rubbish. Please trust me in that. I don't have the time to go into all the detail, but what I can tell you I do have is an extensive background, extensive education. I've been licensed in every line of insurance possible, which is what annuities are driven by. I've been licensed in all forms of stock ownership, stock options, Series 6 and 7, I'm sure they've changed the name of it a little bit since then. But I'm just telling you, it is, I know what I'm talking about without having to back it up. Let my yes be yes and my no be no. How about that? You know, when it comes to precious metals, I mean, I like platinum. Platinum's a great metal. It's in everything. Every high-speed, high-heat electronic, every automobile, every boat, every plane. It's used in all kinds of scientific applications. It's amazing. Silver, you know, you need silver in portfolio. Some people want all gold. That's foolish. You need more silver than you think you do. The upside on silver is much higher than gold. It takes up space, but it's worth it. We do offer safe depository services, so you don't have to worry about that. It comes in 1 ounce bars and rounds. 10-ounce and 100-ounce bars. You can buy old U.S. silver coinage as bullion product. When I say bullion, I mean just based on the intrinsic value. Old U.S. coinage by the bag, you can buy whatever quantity you want. You want a $500, $1,000, $1,500, $5,000, $10,000, whatever. We can do it. Or we have it by the bag, which I think roughly runs $12,000 something a bag, which is $1,000 face value. Then we get into semi-numismatic coins, the old silver dollars. These are the best way to go, in my opinion. I put every spare penny I have in semi-numismatic and numismatic. Silver dollars have 10% more silver than the old U.S. silver, what they call junk 90, which I hate the term because it's not junk. The upside potential is very big due to limited supplies. We've seen this yo-yo go and go and go. Silver dollars are over 100 years old. It's how the West was won, and you have to love them. I mean, they're just nostalgic amazement you can hold in your hands, and people can get numb to the phenomenon of it, but they were there. They're the real deal. They're true money. And what you look at is what you could buy with a silver dollar then and what you can buy with a silver dollar now. That's how it works. That's how you view it. And the upside on them is tremendous. We have amazing groups of what we call better coinage for astute investors. These are coins that are old and impossible to find, and the premiums are much too low right now based on their historical performance. They're incredibly inexpensive right now, folks. The last time I was saying this was back around the early 2000s. And I will tell you that just in 6 years, myself as an investor and many, many clients made, depending on what they bought, 3 to 8, 3 to 5, 3 to 7 times their investment in just in 6, 7 years. I mean, that's not what I want you to be your primary driver. I want you to preserve your capital. I want you to put it into something that you know is a brick, okay? We put your money into something that is liquid. What's even better about it, we'll see people that bought this kind of stuff 35 years ago, they almost forget about it. They're either getting, you know, real close to passing, or unfortunately they did pass and their family digs it out. And it's fun and it's exciting for the simple fact that you're like, wow, look at how these things have performed. They're terrific. I'm just telling you, folks, if you really want to trust us, I cannot even tell you the number of people that come in and they just say, oh, I want gold bullion or whatever. Folks, if you come in, just tell them, if you're investing, say, I want Kevin to build me a portfolio. A lot of times you just tell them that right at the counter, let Kevin build me a portfolio. I will do it personally, and I promise you it'll be sound. I will do for you the exact same thing I do for my mother or my sister or brother, and it'll be the same pricing. We wholesale to everybody. We sell you items at their liquid wholesale market prices. I know of no other coin business in existence that does this. There is no retail. And folks, do not buy coins on TV. We had someone bring in like a huge quantity of coins they bought on TV here a while ago. I mean, they paid, oh my gosh, like 10 times what junk was worth. When I was talking about condition rarities, I didn't get to the modern stuff with all this MS-70. The coin grading scale goes from 0 to 70. 70 used to be an impossible coin to find. Now with all this modern stuff they make, literally by the tens of millions, they're all perfect. They're all designed and struck by computers. And then people send them and get them certified. And a certain percentage of them grade MS or proof 70, which means they're perfect. There's no notable flaws. That means nothing. You have millions and millions and millions of these struck, and you have tens of thousands or more in these 70 holders. If it's going over your head, fine. Don't worry about it. Just let us help you. But do not buy into this condition rarity garbage. It will take you down. There's always more nice coins popping up when there's a high mintage and they're all perfect and they were never made for circulation and they all come out and, you know, they get handled with white gloves at the mint and then they get thrown in nice little velvet boxes. I don't care if it's 100 years from now. It's mintage and availability dictates the value of coins always. Certain coins will have more favor than others at certain times. There are certain things people really love. You know, people love the Buffalo nickel. That is one of the classics of all time. People think, I don't want a bunch of nickels in my investment. Oh, yes, you do. My father, after decades, I'm running out of time, but after decades of collecting, you know, and good collectors fine tune and get wiser and streamline. They go from quantity to quality. My father narrowed down to Morgan dollars, Buffalo nickels, type coins. And I'm telling you what, the profit when he passed, unfortunately, was astounding. The coins are amazing. I've, of course, put a substantial portion in my own holdings, But because of that, I've released a number of coins out of my collection for sale. We've just got, I mean, I've spent the show. I did not intend to do this. There's so much going on out there. I don't even have time to talk about all the Hillary scandals that are coming apart. God is being faithful. These people have pointed the finger and lied with their attacks of Trump, and everything is coming apart on them. Political corruption, though, folks, out of control. Out of control, the political corruption. Cannot even believe how vile the left is. There is no desire for truth. Bottom line is, this PCGS coin index, 1970, $1,000. 1980, it was worth about $6,000. By 1990, $10,000. By the year 2000, $20,000. By the year 2010, believe it or not, from the year 2000 to the year 2010, it had gone up to about $40,000, or actually closer to $45,000, and now it's near $70,000. That's the index, okay? Don't let that fool you. Oh, it's too high. That's what, when you let us build you a nice portfolio, that's what you're dealing with. Just, I'm telling you, let us do it. Come in. Trust me. You're going to get precious metals. You're going to get emergency barter material. You're going to get everything in that portfolio. I really want you to get yourself secure while there is still time. God will give us opportunity windows to prepare ourselves. This is what this is, folks. I believe this sincerely. Please stop hesitating. Stop procrastinating. Don't be like, I've bought gold at 350 and out. You know, none of that. That is the wrong thought process. You're preserving your wealth in capital in the way God told you. If you sit around and say, I wish I woulda, coulda, you're the guy that you know, you never do it, do you? Never. Stop it. Do the right thing and do it now. And then don't sit and stare at it every day to go up 2 cents or down 2 cents, up 2 cents. Don't, that's not what it's about. It's about building wealth and capital brick by brick. So anyway, have a great weekend. Thanks for tuning in. God bless you all. Listen to the radio show on the website if you missed it. Take care. God bless. Bye-bye.